Colossians chapter 4. We are back into our Abundant Life series. This is part 7. Part 7 of the Abundant Life. You want to live out the abundant life in this life here and now? There are some things that God wants you to do, and there are some things that we need to have. We talked about this is part 7, so it's been 6 weeks. We have talked about being saturated with the Word of God. That's the first aspect. The first thing you need to do is your Bible intake. Your Bible intake, you have to be daily in the Word. We talked about that over the past 6 weeks. Bible intake or Bible saturation is number one. Number two, we start that today. That's prayer. Number two is prayer. It's one thing to read the Scripture, but prayer is one of those things that require discipline. We're praying that to somebody we can't see. We're expecting an answer that we cannot control. And prayer is probably, as one commentator said, contrary to the natural man. I would say it this way, it's not only the most neglected, but it's the most difficult to do. F.B. Meyer said, "The great tragedy of life is not unanswered prayer, but unoffered prayers." Charles Spurgeon said, "Prayer is sure evidence of the presence of God, as the rising of a thermometer is evidence of increase in temperature. And if God is near a church, it must pray. And if he is not, one of the obvious signs of his absence is the lethargy in prayer." If we're going to be honest, you've got to admit that prayer is, for the most part, sporadic, unpowerful, and I would say it this way, it is talked about more than anything else, and it is practiced less than anything else. It's talked about the most. What's the first thing somebody says? Hey, I'm going for an appointment tomorrow. Finally get to see Dr. Foster. Oh, I'll pray for you. Okay, when tomorrow comes, are you going to pray for me? Some of you probably will. Some probably won't, right? I mean, that's just what we do. If it's not a habit, we're creatures of habit, right? And if we're not in the habit of doing something, then we're not going to be in the habit of doing it. It takes work, it takes effort to go from one habit to another. You have to exchange a different habit in order to get out of that habit. You've got to replace it with another habit. And if you're not in the habit of praying, it's not going to be something that's going to come naturally to you. It goes against our natural way of doing things, right? That's the sinful nature. We don't want to pray because that means that we have to be dependent on somebody else. We got to ask God for help. Most of the time, we do things ourselves, don't we? Right? No comment. Here's the idea. Do you remember the four principles? We're talking about intentionality. And when you talk about intentionality, number one, you got to have a desire. And that's no different. We talked about the same aspects where it comes to Bible saturation. When you're talking about diving into God's Word, you've got to have a desire to read God's Word, right? You'll never know God's Word if you don't have a desire to read it. I mean, and the same principles apply when we talk about prayer. You've got to have a desire to pray. If you don't have a desire, it's going to be non-existent. And the second aspect, you have to believe that prayer is going to accomplish what you are praying it is going to do. Do you believe prayer is going to work? Most people don't. They're like, well, if God's in control, if it's his will or not his will, it doesn't matter whether I pray it or not pray it. It's his will is going to happen either way. Well, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't pray, right? Yeah, hello, is this thing on? You didn't get your nap today, did you? Or else you got too much food and you're tired. Or maybe it's the cold weather. That always makes everybody tired. Well, now's not the time for napping. Well, it may happen right away, but it may not. It's always in God's timing. And we're always to wait on God's timing. If you don't think that prayers, you know, works, you're not going to pray. But third, you got to have an intentional plan to do it. You don't do something without a thought out plan. You have to have a plan of attack when it comes to prayer as well. You got to be intentional. And fourthly, Everybody can pray. Do you have the skill to pray? I hear a lot of people, and this is no rude disrespect, but a lot of people will come up to me and Matt as a pastor, and they'll be like, hey, you're a pastor, man. I need you to pray for my family. Well, okay. You know, have you accepted the Lord Jesus? I've accepted Jesus. Okay, well, why don't you pray? Right? I mean, I'm not some special guy that has some special connection. I got a big special connection with the big guy. Just give me your prayers. I'll go talk to him real quick. No, it don't work like that. You have the same, by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews says, by the blood of Jesus Christ, we can come boldly before the throne of grace. Amen? You go do it. Man, we need prayer warriors. And we're losing them. We're losing people to go before that. You have the power to pray. I don't think people understand the power that they possess. When God gave you the Holy Spirit, he gave you power. What does Jesus say in Acts 1? He goes, when I go, I'll give you the Holy Spirit. When he comes upon you, you will have what? Power. I don't think we understand the power that we possess.
And we're, we have that power, you have to humble yourself.
That's good. You got to humble yourself and step aside so God can take control.
Yeah.
He wants to work so many things through us, but we do things on ourselves. Butch, there's no stupid questions. Let me rephrase that. Oh, sure. When you talk about praying, man, praying can be in different ways. God wants to hear from you. When you talk about a salvation experience, what does Romans 10, 9 and 10 say? Anybody know? Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart. Okay, so there's a confession to some of it. So there is some things audibly. Jesus talked to God audibly, right? Let me give you one. When we talk about praying, it's not any length of time. It's not the matter of words. It's not the verbal outside. I would say probably salvation is a verbal. It's a confession to God. But when we talk about other ways, in the book of, Ezra? I believe it was Ezra. I might be mistaken. But in the book of Ezra, in the Old Testament, he is standing before the king of the Medo-Persian Empire. I think it was Darius. Might have been somebody different. Anyway, he looks at him because he's his cupbearer. So he's with the king all the time. And he looks at him and he goes, man, this is the first time where your face is not looking good. What the heck's the matter with you?
Nehemiah.
Was it Nehemiah? Thank you. Oh, cool. Good. Appreciate you correcting me and making me look like an idiot. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, it is, because it's chapter 1. It's right there in the very beginning. So Nehemiah comes in. He is the king's cupbearer. And no, if ever I am wrong, correct me every time. I need you to do that. So he's in there talking to the king. The king says, why is your face sad? And so now Nehemiah's got to answer him. And so he says this. He goes, I'm a little sad because, my city, Jerusalem, it's destroyed. And, this is all this. And man, that's my home country. Lord God, And then the king says, what do you want me to do? What do you want from me? And then the Bible says that Nehemiah prayed. Okay, so you better answer the king. If he asks you a question, you answer him right then. Don't you do that to your kids? Answer me. Answer me right now. And so, but here's the thing. You're not going to take your time to go in your closet and pray and talk to God. He needed a prayer right then and there. And how could he do it? He's not going to pray openly and publicly to the king. But it said he prayed. It said he prayed. And then he answered the king. So it had to be a quick prayer, and it had to be in here. So yes, does God want audible prayers? Yes. Are they in here? Yes. Do they have to be long prayers? No. He still hears them, sure. Absolutely. So why wouldn't we do every one of them in here so that we don't have to worry about the enemy hearing us?
Well, there's moments I want him to run. And then sometimes, I mean, sometimes you, when you speak out of your mouth, you can give him stuff. The enemy cannot be in your mind.
Yes.
But there are times when you need to put the enemy on the run, and that's when you need to pray out.
Absolutely. Because here's the thing. If you have boldness in the Holy Spirit, it doesn't matter what I'm asking God. I know that he's going to supply my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus, Philippians 4:13, right? So I don't care what he says. So I'm going to do it openly and boldly because I don't care what the enemy hears. Because I know God's going to supply my needs, and in the power of the Holy Spirit, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, right? Doesn't matter. But you want to be careful when you pray because Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, remember 9 through 13, where he's talking about the Lord's Prayer? Well, before that prayer, he gives two all-important verses. Number one, he says, don't pray for length of words. Because the Pharisees, they prayed with these long prayers, like God just wants to hear your long prayers. And the second thing was, don't do the repetition in prayer. And let me justify that by saying, we've been praying for Bev, right? And every Wednesday we pray for Bev. It's not repetition in like the same situation. It's just the same old prayer. And I'll give you this one. A lot of people had prayed, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, every night before they went to bed. That's a repetition of prayer. That's the same exact words. That's the same exact thing. All you're doing is just repeating the same prayer over and over and over and over again. God wants you to be open and honest. God wants you to just give him what you need at any time. It doesn't have to be a long prayer. It can be a short prayer. It could be in your mind. It can be, there's all types of different ways to pray. But you have to have that open line of communication with God. Ronnie.
If you do the same prayer every morning, you still are not.
Oh, yeah. I mean, as long as you're not doing something based off of repetition. And forgive me, I'm not ripping on different denominations, but Roman Catholics do these prayers that they have written down, and all they do is read them. And most of them are in Latin. And none of the people understand what they're praying. And they just do it because that's what you do, because that's repetition in prayer. You can repeat the same prayer. You know, every Wednesday, Lord, be with Bev. Thanks for encouragement. You're working in her life. Continue to do so. Okay. We say it every Wednesday. I say it every day. I go in and pray with her. Same thing. Good deal. Persistent.
Yeah,
we'll get to that tonight.
Like a father or like a son comes to a
maybe
parent, you know, that continues to
ask for
something.
Sure.
I think there's some reference in there to that.
Yes, there's a couple of them. We'll talk about those tonight, Lord willing. Yeah, that's all good, man. Now a thing went out here on me. Hang on.
Hey, Pastor.
Yes. Yes. That's good. That's good. That's good stuff right there, man. Those things happen spiritually, but we don't see it. And because we don't see it, we get discouraged a lot. And man, if we just, okay, we're going to get into it, so let's move on. So we talk about power in prayer, power in prayer. Do you know how much power we have in prayer? I don't think we know, and I don't even think the apostles knew. Matter of fact, in Mark chapter 9, when Jesus was, they were out doing things, and there was this man, I think it was a man who was demon-possessed, and the disciples went out to cast a demon out of him, and they couldn't do it. And then when they went in this person's house, Jesus come, and he cast the demon out, and it come into this house. And in verse 28 and 29, when he entered the house, the disciples said, hey, why could we not cast the demon out? And Jesus said, this kind can only be driven out by nothing but what? Prayer. Isn't that amazing? Nothing but prayer. That one can't be cast out by anything but prayer. When you pray, you have to be persistent in your prayer. You're going to see the effects, and that's what we're talking about. You've got to be persistent. You got to know that there's going to be a desire for outcome. If you want to be more like Jesus, then we got to pray. That's all he did all the time. He prayed with his disciples, and he got alone sometimes by himself and prayed. And so we need to do the same things. Paul understood the power of prayer, and you cannot be growing as a Christian and not pray. It's just like your marriage, right? If you don't talk to your spouse, you're not going to be growing in your relationship. I mean, now listen, you can be a Christian and not pray, right? Correct? You can be a Christian and not pray. And you can be in a relationship with your spouse and not talk to your spouse. But let me ask you a question. In either one of those circumstances, are you going to grow?
No, but there's a difference from being saved and just having the time. I think, if you are a Christian, if you're really a born again believer, you're going to pray.
But people are at different levels of their spirituality than other people. And so people's growth is only as much as they want to grow. Some people get saved, they're on fire for God, they are in tune, they are in prayer. Other people get saved, and it takes a little bit longer to kick them in the butt and keep them going. But you're absolutely true. But that's what Paul says, 2 Corinthians 5:17. If you're a new creature in Christ, old things have passed away and everything becomes new. You're going to do things differently. A little bit at a time, depends. Everybody's a little different, you know, speed, but you're going to start doing things differently. Sure. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And we get to it here in a second, we'll talk about how prayer will allow you to absorb the Word of God a lot better. So you remember we talk about you have the foundational stuff, right? And so the first thing is you need to be in the Word. You need to be saturated with the Word of God. You need to be saturated with the Word of God. You need to be reading it, meditating on it, studying it, hiding it in your heart. You need to be reading it and doing this. Well, here's the other aspect. As you begin to grow, all you're doing is adding to this. This is spiritual growth. You're adding step by step. What's the next spot? If you don't pray and ask God to show you what He wants you to see in the Word, you'll never see it. Does that make sense? So, prayer is how we speak to God. His Word is how He speaks to us. And He can speak to us through prayer, too. I mean, you just sit and listen to Him, and He'll speak to you. But prayer is how we talk to God, and His Word is how He speaks to us. It's a big loop. We talk to Him, He talks to us. We talk to Him, He talks to us. Bible saturation is the first aspect. It's very important, but you can't even read the Scriptures without prayer. Psalm 119, this is your homework. Go and read Psalm 119. There is 176 verses. So I'll give you a week to get through it all. You can do 10, 20 verses a day. But here's the idea. In Psalm 119, verse 18. Psalm 119 is all about the Word of God. All the benefits of the Word of God. What it does for us. It's amazing. It's wonderful. And so in Psalm 119, verse 18, it says, "Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law." And law is just another way to say God's Word. "I'm going to read your Word, but show me what you want me to see out of it, Lord. Show me what you want me to know and understand and apply to my life." Like I said, we was talking about this before. I've read Genesis. I've read the Genesis account for so long and so many times. And then I come on day two, nothing was created, and God never said it was good. It was like, yeah, everything was good. And then when He done created, all those, every day was good. And then it was very good at the light. Nope, day two, nothing was created. He never said it was good. And I went back and I read it, and yep, there it is. I was like, oh, dang, I missed that. Pray that God would show you what He wants you to see. Man, there's so much there. So much there. You'll never get through it all in your life. How's that? We'll never get through it here. You can only get so much. But we need to be saturated with the Word of God. And so let me show you a little bit of what's at the heart of God just from Psalm 119. This is why it's so vitally important when we talk about prayer and His Word. In verse 12, He says, "Teach me your statutes." Are you asking God to teach you something from His Word? True learning of God's Word is only possible if we're asking God to be the teacher. Right? I mean, yeah, Jesus died and gave gifts to men and apostles and teachers and all that stuff. But if God is teaching you through them, you'll learn. If God is not the teacher through them or through the Holy Spirit, you won't learn. You need to ask God to say, hey, teach me. I'm here. I am, Lord, teach me what you want me to know. Yes. It does, and that's where Isaiah 28, 9, and 10 comes into play. When you talk about, you got to start somewhere. Everybody in the world, secular, saved, unsaved, doesn't matter, knows John 3, 16. Why? Because they've heard it 100 gazillion thousand times. But if I ask you what 2 Chronicles 24, 32 says, what is it? Absolutely not, because we've never read that one. I don't even know if it's that a chapter and a verse. I'm probably just making stuff up. But here's the idea. You've got to read it, and you've got to read it, and you've got to read it to, in order to get it. It's like the ABCs. We said it, we sang it, we said it, we sang it. And then, you know, after about a year or so, we finally got it down. But it's just like anything. Like I told you before, I grew up on the 50s and 60s. I used to DJ with my uncle when I was a young kid, 7, 8 years old. And I had all those songs in my head, man. And it's funny because I hear those old songs on the radio and I can pick right up those words exactly as it's sung, exactly all the way to the end. And that's the way the scripture is. That's why as soon as possible you want to hide God's word in your heart so he can bring it back to your remembrance when you need it. That's why it's important to be saturated with the word. We do it with our kids. We do it with our teens. We do it with our adults. Man, you're just being saturated nonstop. All right. So listen to this. Psalm 119:19 says, do not hide your commandments from me. This is something. I think sometimes we always look to the good of God. God is good all the time. He is good. And we know God. We love God. His mercy, his grace, and all that stuff. But what about God's judgment? The Bible says God's judgment is without mercy. And I know it's talking about a final judgment and all that stuff. But what about his children? Does he not redirect his children? Do we not discipline our children as parents, right? We redirect them. Till we get to church, then we turn on the other face. Hi, how are you? Good morning. bless your heart. But here's the idea. I think we forget sometimes the disciplinary hand of our Father. He wants to redirect us to make us look more like Jesus. And sometimes, do you realize that God may not open his word to us? That's the prayer. Don't hide your commandments from me. Don't hide your word from me. I want to know what it says. Listen to this judgment in Amos 8. This should scare us a little bit, man. You should be scared a little bit, all clenched in your tight spot. Amos 8:11. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land. Not a famine of bread, nor of thirst for water, but of the hearing of the words of the Lord. You ever heard that one? That ought to scare you. That's an Old Testament prophecy. It has to do with Israel, and it's not really for us. But listen to the principle. If you're not really in tune with God, if you don't have a desire, if you're not loving the Lord like you should, is he really going to open his word to you? That's like prayer. We may get into it later on, but I'll give you a little heads up. In 1 Peter chapter 3, it's talking about an unsaved wife and or a saved wife and an unsaved husband, and then a saved husband with an unsaved wife. And it's talking about living with them in an understanding way. And Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 3, you need to, as a saved husband who your wife has sanctified through you, you need to live with her in an understanding way so that your prayers aren't hindered. How many men whose prayers are hindered because they are not understanding their wives? That's a scary one. That's a little off the beaten path. Okay, that's your second homework. That's number two. You have to look that up too and figure out what that's all about. I'll have a report next week for me, and I'll read it and grade them. Psalm 119:27, he says, make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. God has absolutely given everything about him. Remember we were talking about Psalm 19, talks about who God is and his revelation to mankind. He has given us everything that we need to know. It's in there. And we're like, God, make me understand all about you. What can be revealed of God is revealed in his word. And if you don't know his word or you've never heard the gospel, where are you going to find out about God? If If you don't have a Bible and nobody's ever told you about Jesus, how can you know about him? There's two things that make you inexcusable. Come on. Conscience and creation. Romans 1 says creation, and Romans 2:15 says a conscience. Absolutely. And not to get off on a side note, a lot of people get mad and they're like, well, oh, God's never showed himself to me. He has in creation. And if you believe that there is a creator and you want to know that creator, God will send somebody. That's where missionaries come into play. You remember Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch? Remember him? Do you know why Philip was there? Because the Holy Spirit said, you need to get up because there's a guy I need you to see. And that's exactly what happened. What did God say to Peter? He said, get up, kill, and eat. Oh, I've never ate anything unclean. God says, don't call unclean what I've said is clean. Now get up and go to Cornelius' house because you need to go talk to him. And he was talking about Gentiles because the Jews had a problem with Gentiles, right? Because they didn't think that they were good enough to be saved and you got to keep the law and all that stuff. And that's why Paul wrote Galatians. But here's the point. If somebody wants to know that creator, God will send them somebody. Why do you think missionaries have that desire to, like, I want to go to Africa, like Sierra Leone? Why? Why'd you want to go there? And they're like, I don't know. Because there's a...
every person will have one chance to know Christ.
Yes.
And they will get the word at least one time.
That's right.
That's why God sends missionaries.
That's it. I forget where the passage talks about that every time you hear the gospel and you reject it, you harden your heart a little bit more and a little bit more until you just become numb. What a shame. Doesn't have to be like that. Okay, where am I at? All right, Psalm 119:36. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. The problem is not primarily our understanding, it's our willingness. We want to meditate on God's word so that we can understand it and hide it, but that's not natural to us. It's not natural to us to do that. And so we got to pray that God would give us a little nudge, give us a little push. Sometimes if you don't have a desire, God's got to give you a little push. And that's what we want. Lord, push my heart to know you more through your word. Sometimes it takes work, it takes effort. And if you just ask God to give you a little nudge, he will. You know, it's like coming to church. It's like, oh, I don't want to go today. Well, you have to. You're the pastor. I'll just call Matt and have him to, you know. But you get that little nudge, man, I'm telling you, whether I'm speaking or not, there has never been a time that I've ever come to church and I'd be like, oh, could have done without that. There's always something there for you. You always glean something, whether it's small or not. You're always getting something, and that's what—that's so important. Psalm 119:133, it says, establish my footsteps in your word. And so this is, we're trying to be obedient to God, but we want him to allow us to be obedient to what his word has to say. And here's the idea. We can't do God's word on our own, so we need God to absolutely show us and to help us carry out his word. And that's what he said back in Ezekiel. He said, I will take out the stony heart. I will give you a heart of flesh. And you will be able to do my commandments. Here's the idea. In Philippians 2, 3, and 4, Paul says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you not only look out to his own interests, but also the interests of others. So when you are praying, God, help me live your word out. So don't do anything by selfish ambition. Do it for the word of God to say, Lord, you have met my needs. As I go throughout this day, let me look outward to your people who are created in your image. And if there's somebody that has a need, show me so I can help meet that need. Right? We don't do that most days. We're just like, okay, I got to get up. I got to go to my job. I got to go do this. I got to get home. Wife's got dinner on. Then we're flipping the boob tube on. We got our TV shows. But you don't know how many people you come in contact with every day that may need something. And if you're not praying, God, show me where there's a need, you'll never see it. Right? Oh, it's wonderful. All right. So this is why we ask God to help us keep going. We don't want to go astray. Lord, I want to follow the straight and narrow, but I want to be open to what's going on around me to meet people's needs. And when I do fall off the path, in Psalm 119, here's the last verse, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant. Lord, bring me back. Come get me. Come get me and bring me back. The Psalms prayer that he needed God to come after him. Come after me, God, and bring me back. Oh, come after me. Sometimes we need to pray the same thing over and over again. I veered off the path. Oops, sorry, God. Oh, come get me. Come get me. You ever did that? Like, you need help. You break down or something. You're like, hey, I need help. I broke down. That tire you said I should have replaced 6 months ago. Yeah, it finally blew out. And then you're like, yeah, well, you better get this one done too. Get both of them done at the same time. And then you're like, yeah, the other one blew out. I only got one tire, so can you come get me again? That's what we do with God, man. I'm sorry I strayed. Come get me, Lord. Bring me back on the path. Bring me back on the path. Man, we got to stay in tune with the Lord. Make it a top priority in your life. Prayer needs to be a top priority. In Psalm 119, 147, it says, I arise before dawn. And I cry for help. I hope in your word. Lord, this is the day that you've made. I shall rejoice and be glad in it. Whatever you would have for me today, just show me. I'm yours. I'm your servant. May I focus on you. May I think about you. I want to talk to you all day long. Just, you should open the morning with Father and then end it at the end of the day. Amen. Keep that open line of communication going all the time. We're about out of time, but we're going to run right through this here because I don't want to get off track. So here's our verse. Go to, did I tell you to go to Colossians 4? Yeah. All right, verse 2 through 4. This is our big verse when we're talking about prayer. Or actually, this is the one from the Lifeway Principles that I took this from. So it says in Colossians 4, verse 2 through 4, he says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I might make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Now, continue steadfastly. We're just going to talk about that word for tonight, and then we'll be done. I got a few minutes here. Continue steadfastly in prayer, as we talk about that. It means to continue to do something with intense effort. You have to do this with intense effort. And the phrase to continue earnestly is actually one word in the Greek. You're actually doing one action. And so it's only spoken of 10 times in the New Testament, but four of those times is where it talks about your intention or your devotion to prayer. And it is it's powerful. It's a command, not a request. And so that powerful word is to do something with intense effort. And it's a command, not just a request. That's the problem, is that we're not very persistent in our prayers, like you were talking about, Butch. And that's what Paul says. Remember 1 Thessalonians 5:17? What does it say? Pray without ceasing. Not that you just continually pray all day long, which is good to do, but that you just, it's nonstop. You continually pray for that. Pray for that. Pray for that. What was her name? She was praying in the house when all the guys were praying when Peter got out of prison. Remember that? In Acts? And then she opens the door and then slams the door in Peter's face. It's like, hey, Peter's downstairs. And they're like, no, we're praying that Peter gets out of prison. And she's like, no, he's downstairs. That's persistent prayer. Man, they were praying through it, and he's already gotten out. That's what we should be doing, man, praying for things, and then find out, oh, yeah, 2 weeks ago, that was already taken care of. Oh, praise God, man. We've been praying with fervent, earnest, intense effort. And that's what needs to happen, but we lose that. Jesus says the same thing. If you got time, go to Luke 11 real quick. We'll go through this real quick. In Luke 11, verse 1, Jesus says he was in a certain place, and his disciples said, teach us to pray like John the Baptist taught his disciples, okay? So then he goes on, you know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, blah, 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 and he goes on through that. Now, verse 5 through 7, he says this. He goes in to talk about prayer. He gives them a model prayer, and then he goes in to talk in more efforts. He says, suppose you have a friend And you go to him at midnight and you say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine is on a journey and he's come to me. I got no food to give him. And suppose that your friend who's on the inside, he says, hey, don't bother me. The door's locked. My children are in bed and I'm not getting up to give you anything. And you're like, oh, some friend, right? So in verse 8, he says, I tell you, though he does not want to get up and give you anything, even though he's your friend, yet because of his shameless persistence, he will rise and get him whenever he needs. He knows that guy's not going to stop knocking on his door. And he's like, we're going to get up and we're going to give him whatever this guy needs to get him the heck out of here. And the point that Jesus is trying to make is this. He's like, you've got to be persistent in your prayer. And then he goes right into this, verse 9 through 12. I tell you, you ask and it'll be given. You seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be open. For everybody who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, the one who knocks is open. He says, what father among you, if his son asks for a fish, is going to give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, you're going to give him a scorpion? He's like, no, God knows what you need. He's going to give you what you want. Same thing, Luke 11, or 18. Go to Luke 18. If you're there and you can move your fingers real quick, Luke 18, starting in verse 1 through 8, he says, and he told them a parable. This is about prayer. Now pay attention, because verse 1 is the whole part of the parable. He told them a parable to the effect that they should always pray and not lose heart. Don't give up. You've got to be persistent with intense effort. Man, you want to know the word of God? Then you better be in prayer to God to show you his word so you can memorize it. You got to be in prayer with intense effort. Don't give up. God will give you what you're asking. Amen? And that comes by repetition. And so he said in a certain city there was a judge who didn't fear God, had no respect for man, didn't care. And there was a widow that came and she kept coming to him saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, I don't fear God and I don't respect men. Yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I'm going to give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. It's going to wear him down. And he's like, I know this lady is not going to stop. I'm going to give her whatever she wants. Verse 6. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. Verse 7. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Is he going to find prayer warriors when he comes back? That's the question. I mean, I know it's talking about a second coming, but what about for the rapture? We need to be praying. We should be doing what God's asking us to do when he comes back to get us. Lord, come back. And then you're like floating up into heaven, like getting your new body, and you're going up. Lord, I pray that you're, oh, hey, I got a new body. Woohoo, yay. So the whole point is to show us not to lose heart. Don't lose heart. Don't give up. Keep going. It's going to be worth it. You've got to be persistent. And so sometimes you don't feel like it, but guess what? We don't do things based off of feelings, do we? Proverbs 29:11 says we don't do things off of feelings. We do things based off of the truth of God's word. If God wants us to do it, we need to do it, whether we feel like it or not.